Today's episode of The Mom Game is presented by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule that delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome not inside the Coppola Studios, but instead Truck Yard in Fort Worth for episode 293 of The Mom Game. I am Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We're not in the studio, but we are together, and we are thrilled to have two very special guests with us, Angela and DeMarcus Ware, helping raise awareness for the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Yes. Is the reason that we are here today, and DeMarcus and Angela have been so gracious to join us and give us a little peek inside their lives and talk a little sports, parenthood, all that fun stuff. So thank you guys so much for being with us. We really, really do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Julie, you want to fire away?
Sure. I told DeMarcus a second ago, I actually met him back in 2007 when I was the reporter for the Cowboys. I mean, it's crazy how much time has passed and how old we are now.
I know. So, and I've covered the Cowboys too when I was at Fox Sports Southwest. So I met you then. And that was a long, long time ago.
Some time ago.
Like, we're all getting old.
We are.
Wiser.
Yeah, that's there right.
Wiser.
Yeah.
Older and wiser. That's
but right. Here's the thing. You look exactly the same. You really do.
He does.
We all age with.
I don't think it's fair to be quite honest with
right?
you. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, so to kind of that point, a lot has happened since then. Obviously, a very illustrious NFL career. You've done... Can I say, like, everything that you could possibly do as an NFL player, winning a Super Bowl, all of the accolades, the Pro Bowls, playing for a long time with the Cowboys, and then you got to kind of go on that extra little trip, go play for Denver, and win.
Yeah.
There's so much we could talk about there, but I guess the first question would just be, when you look back at it all now, being, you know, not too far removed from the playing days, how do you describe it?
I describe it as a dream that God gave me an opportunity to live, right? It's one of those things where, as a kid, when you get an opportunity, you want to be a professional athlete. And not only, you know, did God make me a professional athlete, he made me one of the best ever, right? And then the coolest thing is it's like all the experiences and everything you get to do, you know, from that. And I think it's just like that godly dream that you get to live out each and every day. And I think just put him on that platform because that's what he gave you. So
were you able to have that perspective in the moment, or is it something that came post-career?
No. After, it was totally after. I was like one of those guys, and my granddad always told me that just put your head down at the plow. Don't worry about anything. And just what's right in front of you. Don't look behind you, beside you, left or right. You just go. And that's like how I lived my life. And when I retired, because I actually had like a huge, and my wife, she got to see it, but all of these newspaper clippings that I kept, I didn't read any of them. And so like one day she was like, hey, let's go through this box and let's go through all your memorabilia. And so we get the new home, and she opens up all of these things and, you know, put them all up everywhere. And she said, I want to surprise you. So I walk into the room, and all the things that you've accomplished, I walk in the room, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I just started tearing up because I didn't even really remember any of it.
Yeah.
I just was, that's what I do. I was just working. But now you go into that room, and you're like, okay, well, I see why now God says you need to be focused. Just focused on the moment, because yes, it's fleeting and it's fast, like you 07 and you with the Cowboys too, but it's one of those fleeting moments, but you got to go back sometime to remember. And that was the coolest thing that, you know, she did for me.
This guy, such a bachelor style, right? Like, I was going through, we got a new house, and he had just boxes of stuff. And so we opened these boxes, and they're literally, like, game footballs and, like, jerseys, like, thrown in there and just, like, old cleats all shoved together. And, like, these footballs are, like, signed. Like, they're the Pro Bowl footballs with the entire Pro Bowl, like, team has signed all of them. And they're just thrown into a box. Like,
people would kill for those things. Yes.
And I'm like, what are you doing? So I had to, like, I took everyone out. I was like, we need to put cases on these things. Yeah. We need to keep them.
So do you have a whole room now, like, with things on display? Or
I mean, we've moved from that place now, but I have all of that stuff now is kept. And so when we move into our new home, it's going to be a place where all that stuff goes, and, you know, where the kids can go and see that, you know, hard work really pays off.
Yeah.
And that's what I want them to see. Not about the celebrity or any other accolades or accomplishing anything. It's just hard work. Just keep it simple. Whatever you can do with yourself and just be focused in what you do. That's what matters.
Sure.
Hard and work mixed in with some talent, right? There's a little.
There's some talent in there, too.
I work real hard, Mark, because I'm not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, okay? Angela, when did y'all meet? How did y'all meet? And what was kind of that, the evolution of that relationship like?
So we met when he was playing for the Broncos.
Yeah.
And I was managing a restaurant at the base of the building he lived in.
Yep.
And it was a brand new restaurant, so we were just opening, and so everybody coming down from the restaurant and, you know, scoping it out or whatever. And I would be in contact with his manager.
Look at him smiling so big.
He was too cool to make his own dinner reservation. So his manager would call. Yeah. And then so I'd be putting in his reservation. She'd call me and be like, okay, here we go. One day he was sitting at the bar because I knew who he was. But, like, you know, I just make sure that everything's going smoothly in the restaurant, right? And he looks at me, he goes, are you Angela? And I was like, yeah, how do you know my name? He's like, oh, yeah, my manager said I need to talk to you.
Oh.
I was like, oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so cool because I'm like a foodie, right? So when I was in Denver, I went to all of the hot spots. Like, if it's sushi, if it's barbecue, you name it, I'm always going to go to the new place that's open. And I think one of the coolest things is that the next nice place was right underneath the building where I was living in. And so I go down there and not even thinking about it, but I mean, for a guy, like, two things I think are the most important thing is, first of all, when you see your wife, and then secondly, when you have a child and you've been a family man. And so my wife gave me both of those things. But when I was in there eating, I look up and I'm like, there's my wife. Like,
oh,
seriously,
no way.
As a man, I said, there's my wife. She didn't know that. So I got an opportunity about three times a week to go down there, and I would just sit there. I would eat, and I'm like, there she is. She would just walk by. She would, like, look at me like, oh, shit. And, like, just walk by.
He's back again.
It's so cool, like, now to, like, go back and look at that story. Even when I was talking to some of my friends, they were like, man, like, that's Angela, the girl that you were talking to this whole time, because they see the whole evolution of it.
Yeah.
And how cool it was.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So how long did it take him to propose?
It took a while.
Propose?
It took a while. Yeah,
way
it took
too
a while.
Long.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to be honest, it's like, I made him wait for a really long time to get a date. So he probably had to wait 6 months before he could even get a single date with me. Cause I was like, I don't play that game. I don't, you know, I'm not like the stereotype. I don't fit in with that.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
This is going to be disappointing. Like, I'm standard normal person over here. But he wore me down, and then I had to wait for a really long time.
He got you back.
He got me back.
I got it back. Payback.
Okay, so bring us up to speed now with where y'all are at. Obviously, you have a very adorable son that you brought up here with you today. So tell us what life is like now for y'all.
It's great because I think, like, now, I mean, it was a whirlwind when I retired. I mean, from doing Dancing with the Stars, doing The Masked Singer, the Hall of Fame.
You did The Masked Singer?
I didn't know you did The Masked Singer.
Yeah, and so it was so many things that
we
got to do. So it was just, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, now I'm like, hold on, let me take a seat back and just be dad. Then you got almost 4-year-old, and I got my 14-year-old son, and he's, you know, 9th grade, and I got my daughter that's about to graduate. She's a senior. So really just everything is, like, about family right now, until it's easy to get back into it. But now it's about family, and how we can just keep that nucleus tight for the family.
So were you, I just have to step back a little bit to Dancing
She's
with the
Stars. She's going back to
Masked Singer. The Masked Singer. We just watched The Masked Singer with my kids like a couple days ago, and they loved it, right? There's so much to look at. It's so bizarre.
So wild.
Were you there like with him for that part of his journey? What was all that like? And you sang?
Really funny. And this man has so much confidence in himself sometimes, it's shocking. He did not know the words of the song the night before he was supposed to go out and say. I was like, you need to learn the words. Like, he's like, I'll just look at the teleprompter. And I was like,
oh my God.
No. Oh, learn the words, please. Learn the words.
Yeah. You can embarrass yourself on national television.
I almost did because the scene that I, because I was a koala.
Okay.
In the episode, if you wanted to know.
That was my next question.
And, she was like, you got to know the words because you never know what's going to happen. The teleprompter can go off and, you know, because it's live.
True.
So I get out there and so I'm the one of the only characters that didn't have a teleprompter. So I'm outside and all of a sudden you just got to start singing. I'm coming out of the truck and dancing and looking at the camera and then walking walking onto the stage. There's no teleprompter.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, holy cow. And that was at that OS moment.
Okay?
And I was like, all right, I'm so glad I remembered what she said.
Yeah.
And I started singing a song.
What just song was it?
It was,
Oh, you're singing it too. I can tell.
Yeah, to the
side. You can sing it. We'll back you up.
Everybody wants to.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. Yeah. I knew the song. I'm like,
clearly did not know the words. Knew them for 24 hours. That's it.
Erased.
Exactly. Well, you store what you need to store.
Yes, that's right.
Flush that one.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. So what? How involved are you with football? Watching it? Keeping up with it? I mean, you were a Cowboy for a very long time. I feel like a lot of people still feel like you're one of ours.
I am.
And that's something that I think is pretty unique to it goes up a notch with the Cowboys, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, first of all, like you just said, it goes up a notch with the Dallas Cowboys. When I say like that is like the top of the top of all teams when it comes to just America's team. I mean, playing in Denver, it was great. Winning a championship there was great. But the Dallas Cowboys, I can't even, like, describe to you just the aura, the vibe around the whole world. Everywhere that I go, they're like, oh, this DeMarcus. I'm like, how do you know me? I don't even know your language, but you know the Dallas Cowboys.
Well,
And so it's so cool. But keeping up with the sport, I do keep up with the sport, but I can't just watch a game. It goes too slow. Because I'm looking at the plays, I hear what the quarterback is saying, and I'm going through it like I'm studying. So I'll watch, like, the highlight reels at the end of the game, or I'll – let the game go and I'll rewind it so I can fast forward it through all of the stuff.
Yeah.
So I watch it with my son. I watch it with my family. When it's the tailgate party time, like at the house, it's the popcorn, the wings, the hot dogs. I want to do it. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And so I really bring down the house when it's football time. And when I'm in it and when my family's there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That has to be pretty cool. And also maybe a little bit of an out of body kind of feeling. Like that was your job, your life for so long. And like you said, it was like that game mode, right? Nothing else matters. I'm going to go out there and destroy people for a living.
Yeah.
Now you get to sit back with your family and watch with popcorn.
I have never gotten to be a fan.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, the focus and getting ready, it's almost like you're a gladiator in a Coliseum. When you see the other guy on the other side, I'm going to crush you. Like, that was, like my mindset. But, like, now it's like, oh, that's gone. Who is that guy? And now it's, like, all about just family. But I take the tailgate serious. I take the tailgating time serious. I take that family time serious. And just all of those moments now as a fan, I'm like, I'm going to tell you what, the fans get to have the coolest time. I mean, you can yell at the players. You don't got to worry about performing. You know, so I can do all that now at the guys. I can say, hey, this is a play that they should have ran.
Right.
You know, like all of that. I get to do that and actually truly be a fan now, and I enjoy it.
Angela, sorry, were you about to go? I was just going to say, Angela, are you a big football fan?
Not really. I like it. It's fun to watch. I was a Broncos fan my whole life because they had horsies on their helmets when I was five. That's who
there
I chose, so I stuck with them. I love the Cowboys organization just because I've seen how they treat him now. And, like, Jerry, he has, for whatever reason, such a bad rep, but he's amazing. That whole family is so great. Yeah. And they really look after their old players. So I really like love the Cowboys too. And I feel like it's not a conflict of interest because they only play like once every four years.
Go. Which
so
just happens to be coming up this weekend.
This weekend.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about you. I mean, you said that you weren't really necessarily interested in dating an NFL player. You kind of wanted to steer clear of that. He sucked you in, and here you are how many ever years later. What was it about him that kind of changed your mindset about that, and how have you maintained your identity within this relationship?
Ooh, good question. Well, he's different. I think anybody that knows him, not that there's anything wrong with being a professional football player. I mean, these guys are amazing and they're so smart and they work so hard to be where they are. So like, it's incredible. And I'm honored to know so many people that have played, cause they're incredible people. It takes a lot. But he is so different. He just is such a kind human. And as I got to know him, he just like his kindness and just the love that he has for people. And he truly, genuinely cares about everybody. Yeah. Like, that's what really got me. So he will know everybody's name, from the valet guy, from the busser. It doesn't matter who it is. He walked through the Cowboys organization and knows the janitor. Like, he knows that guy's name. And he's like, hey, guy, what's up? How's your kids? How's your daughter? You know, like, he remembers everybody. He just has, like, this amazing kind heart. So that's really what stood out to me for him, and that's what I really fell in love with. He just loves people so well.
So that's why you flushed the lyrics to that song, so you could have room to remember everyone's name.
Yeah,
there's
only so much
room. That's right.
And how was that kind of navigating to not just be DeMarcus's wife?
It was a challenge at the very beginning because I had only known to work and, you know, being on my own and supporting myself and all that stuff. And, you know, I took a lot of pride in that. And so it was a little bit of a challenge when I moved to Dallas and I left my job and all that stuff. But, you know, God is so good because he gives you identity when you don't have identity. Like, as you continue to learn about God and what God's calling is for your life, you just start to have pieces fill in together. So really, I've just learn to press into Jesus and that's really helped. And now I get to do my own thing and help other people and speak life into other people, and it's just so beautiful. Yeah. So yeah,
tell us more about that, about being a speaker, entrepreneur, obviously a mom. We can talk about that next, but tell us about your speaking engagements and what it is that kind of drives you.
Well, I speak mostly at our church, which is amazing, and I just love God's heart for people, and it's amazing to be able to share that. It's just such a blessing. So I spend a lot of time with our church and helping our church out. That's a lot of my extracurricular activity situations, and it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just what drives me is just being able to see God's love shine into other people. Mm-hmm. Like, we all are looking for love, and we're all looking to be loved and find our purpose in life, and to be able to share that with other people. And there's nothing that could fill your heart more, really.
So DeMarcus, you mentioned your older children, and then you have MJ, who's almost four. How different are the experiences when you got some space in between?
Yeah, with my little daughter, I mean, older daughter now, Marley, she's like quiet as a mouse. And so it's like, hey, girls gonna have their emotions. It's 17 years old, but she's really quiet. And then you got my son, where he's quiet, but I can see like that edge is in there, and he's trying to grow that edge, but he don't know what to do with it. So he's coming into that 15, almost 14 now, almost about to be 15 year old on November 20th. And so he's trying to like edge everything and bottle it up. But then you got little man right here. He's the loudest and the most energetic.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you all of it. And from 7:30 in the morning to 6 o'clock, get your mind right. because he is just going like a you know, firecracker.
Yeah.
But so it's so different now to have, you know, the older kids, and all of a sudden you got the young one, and so you're like, okay, what do I do? Like, you just got to sort of like put them all in a basket and be like, hey, here, everybody got to take care of each other. Yep. This is what we got to do, and just roll with it.
So I remember there was a video of you that went viral of you. This was you like singing a song.
Yeah.
What song was that? Do you remember this? I'm asking you to remember too many songs.
Like from his playing days or
what? No, like you were singing like the sweet little nursery rhyme or something. It was, I don't know what it was on.
Was it a while back or?
Oh, it was a long time ago.
Oh no, that was my daughter's song. It was
like, God, it's going to drive me crazy. Does anybody remember this? There it was. You were singing.
I know the song.
We keep asking him to remember
songs. Here's DeMarcus Ware, like one of the baddest dudes in the NFL, and he's like, I love you. You love me.
It might have been that one.
Like,
that's
I don't know.
Bernie.
Like it was that. Very. And we sang it. I used to sing it to her all the time. Yes. We were like, what are you singing to her?
Yeah.
And so they were trying to capture a moment of her doing something, and I started singing to her. And when you got your daughter, like, look at you like this right here. It's like, Dad, I love you so much. And I almost was like tearing up when I was singing the song.
You'll do anything.
Yeah.
I think it might have been
that song.
Yeah,
I think that was it.
But
I think that was it.
I remember it. It was hilarious.
Angela, how has it been for you navigating motherhood? It's a game changer.
It's a game changer. It's so fun, but it definitely was not what I expected. You know, going in and like, I want to have a kid and I want to be a mom man, he's just such a blessing, but it's a whirlwind, you know? So it's just such a gift. But man, life really changes.
Yeah.
It really changes. And you're like, whoa, I thought I had it all figured out up here somehow, but I do not know anything.
You find out really fast what 24/7 is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for you, when you have your first child, you're like, okay, no, this is going to be 24/7. So this is what you want, right? This is what we want.
Yeah.
Right? Because we had the 17 and 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's like, do we want to have one more baby? She's like, yeah. I said, this is going to be 24/7. But it's like, whoa, you can't stop.
No.
They don't go away. They don't. Uh-huh. These children. Not for a while. Not for a while.
Exactly.
How do y'all make sure to keep the energy up and kind of keep in the right state of mind? Because with parenting, it's hard, right?
Yeah.
And you can feel blah one day. You can feel bad. You can be, something could have upset you, but you don't want that to reflect when you're speaking to your kid, when you're mm-hmm. parenting, when you're with your family.
Mm-hmm.
How do y'all kind of navigate that? Because for me, I think it's one of the hardest parts of parenting.
I look at it like this. One of the worst things with kids is having an unhealed mom or dad. They absorb that.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time that I feel bad, every single time that I feel like I can't do it or I'm feeling some type of way, I always go back to that point. How do I show them a healed inner dad, a healed inner husband, a healed inner friend to them so they can then see that it's almost like, you know, with my daughter, I'm the first person that she's going to date or see as a man, right? And show love to her. The same thing with my son. How you should treat a woman, how you should be a good friend, and the same thing with him. So I go back just into what characteristics that you want to portray to him, no matter what you feel like.
Wow.
Can you actually be a sacrifice to yourself to make sure that your family's going to be really good?
Yeah, that's a great, how did you put that in the beginning? A healed, showing them.
Unhealed parent.
Yep.
If you have parents that are unhealed, that's who they're going to see the most of. And so those kids are going to grow up and sort of harbor some of your problems.
Yeah. Because you can't hide that.
Because you can't hide it.
You can't hide it.
I don't care what you say. You can't hide it. So it has to be real.
Yeah.
It has to be real.
What a great answer.
That was
How about you, Angela? I guess the easier question maybe, how do you keep up the energy?
Oh.
Well, I know you're into fitness and stuff, and that's important.
Yes. Thank goodness. I think with him, I think with all kids, it's a perspective shift, and you kind of got to look at it like game day every day. And the challenges that you come at you, it's like, okay, being a mom or being a parent teaches you so much. It can teach you patience. It can teach you self-control. It can teach you all gentleness. And, you know, it teaches you so much being a parent. And if you look at it like, okay, he's taking me to school as much as I'm taking him to school. Like, what am I going to get to practice on growing in today? And think of it as a game day. It really, like, that perspective shift really helped me, because the challenges then become fun challenges versus the challenges become like, I can't, this is too hard, I just need a break, you know, because we all hit those places where we're like, I just need a timeout.
Yeah. Right.
I need a timeout. Can we all have a timeout?
Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's for me, it was so great when I became a parent. Like, I was so focused on my career and myself for so long. Yeah. And even when I got married, like, I was like, you knew what you signed up for. You asked me to marry you after much pressure put on by me, but you ultimately asked and I said yes. But then when you have kids, it's like, you don't, none of that stuff matters. Like, I don't, like, you're so focused on wanting them to, like, I'm like, I just don't want to raise assholes. Like, I just want to raise good human beings. I want them to be good. I want them to be good human beings. I don't care what they accomplish. I don't tell them this, but I don't care if they are make good grades all the time. Like, I just want them to be good human beings.
Yeah.
And having that purpose for me was such a, like, refreshing perspective shift, like you talked about, that where I didn't care anymore about, climbing the next notch on the ladder of the business world or in my career or whatever. I just, that stuff didn't matter to me anymore. And it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I retired, I started looking, and a lot of the guys too that struggle when they get out of the league, they struggle because they don't know purpose. They don't have a purpose. They've been pouring into the team.
Yep.
They want to win a championship. I've been practicing this whole time from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I get 2 hours with the family, so they don't know what family really means. They can portray it all they want to. They don't know. And so now when you retire, like, the perspective that I had when I retired is, my new team is my family. I was a captain for 12 years. How do I lead my wife? She's a quarterback. How do I lead my sons? How do I lead, like, my daughter? And started looking at it as that perspective, knowing that during the season, you're not going to win every game. There's not a lot of 16-0 or 18-0 teams. You're going to have an up and down season, but what is the main goal? Your main goal in a football season is to hoist that trophy up and say, I want to be a champion. So what is that goal for your family that you can sort of say it's over there, but how do we, like, take little steps to get there and build a team to be to have, like, the winning atmosphere in the family?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's such a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
And speaking of the winning atmosphere and the teams, and I want to talk about your son in playing football, right?
Yeah, he is.
What is that like for you now to be a football dad? He's freshman playing on the varsity for Southlake. Is that all accurate?
Yeah, he's freshman. He just actually, 2 weeks ago, he tore his ACL.
Oh, no.
So that was very, very hard. But, challenges like that are going to come in the sport. I'm glad it came early, and now he's on the mend. But for me to be now on the other side and be in the stands, like, at first I didn't know exactly, like, how would that feel?
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there. Am I going to be the biggest cheerleader for him? I see, like, all the families yelling. Or am I going to be quiet? Am I going to be hard on him and just be like, yeah, this is what you need to do? I see those dads, too. Moms, too.
Right. Plenty of moms.
And so I sit back and just chill. And I'm like, you know what? He needs a cheerleader from his dad. But then, like, one day he came to me and he was like, I want for you to teach me some football stuff. I said, okay. If you want me to teach you some football stuff, here's the analogy I want for you to keep with me, because I want to keep it 100.
That's keep what I'm telling 100
with you.
Tay-Tay, yeah.
You want coach or you want dad? You're not going to like coach. I said, because coach is going to ride you. I'm going to make sure you're doing the right technique. I'm going to be on you. You're probably going to do a lot of things right. But dad is going to be your biggest cheerleader.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to root for you. You're going to always do everything right, no matter what the situation is. And now we have a situation with me and him to where you want dad or you want coach.
So it's on a case-by-case basis.
It's a case-by-case basis.
He'll tell you.
So he'll tell me, hey, who you want? You want dad or coach?
Wow, I like
and so
that.
So if you want coach, I'm saying not coach, but you want dad? All right. I'm going to say, hey, here's how we're going to get better. Here's some things you need to do. If you ask for coach, I'm going to ride you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on you. I'm going to go after you. But it's –
But that's but leaving it up to him, that's a huge.
I'm keeping it up to him. You
for
can
sure.
make that decision.
Yeah.
But you know that both of them are in there.
Yeah.
Right.
But during the game, as Coach Wade used to say, like, the problems are mine when you're playing. I'm going to root for you 100%. If you get ran over, if you go have an interception, like, all of that's positive. And then after the game, who you want? You want Coach or you want Dad?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So to take it one step further, when he says he wants Coach, how does that go? Does he receive the feedback well?
When he asks me, you know, I want Coach right now. I'm like, all right. I always set the atmosphere with him. I sit him down, and I'll because if I watch the game, I know everything.
Like, yeah,
I will go through every. I will nitpick every single thing, and every single thing is actually right. But I'm going to nitpick the smallest things to make it wrong, to say that there's another level to it. You can never be too good in what you're doing. You can never be too complacent. Make sure you have humility in these situations. I saw when you was out there doing some type of dance. What was that about?
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go all into that with them. And, you know, not, and then it gets a good perspective change. You know, with them too. When I do that, but I make sure is I know his heart.
Yeah.
Right.
So and I know where to poke.
Yeah.
And I know where you know what I need a little loving right here.
Yeah.
To just make
I
sure.
I love that you leave it up to him. I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Because I think most parents don't do that.
Right.
They're just like, I'm gonna tell you how it is.
Want today?
That's how T.I. is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Okay, I want to ask you about your thoughts on the Cowboys.
Like, okay.
What do you think about?
we must ask. We must check that box.
This defense. Woo.
Yeah.
It's been rough to watch.
Yeah. So my perspective on the defense is if you start watching like some of the games, they'll have like a phenomenal 8-play drive. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, like how did this dude is open. He's 80 yards down the field by himself.
Yeah.
And they have the talent. That's one thing that they're not lacking. A lot of people are like, well, they don't have the big name guys. They have the talent. I've seen them practice before. I know a lot of the coaches and everything. But there is no leadership. There is no leadership on the team where what I mean by this accountability. Everybody is not accountable to themselves individually. But also just as a team, you can see like sometimes like the little things that a lot of, you know, fans, they don't see is the plays that they break down. You'll see them like looking like this, like they don't know what's going on. So now that big play happened, the team will just quick snap it. And I think that they're not being accountable to themselves with just knowing like the play calling, studying a little bit more. You know, I just call it like it is. And so they have to study more as a team. The continuity of the team isn't as close as you probably think. Because if you're close, those things won't happen because the football happens after the time football needs to be clocked in, which is like that 6 to 4.
Yeah.
If it's a close team, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, we're still hanging out. We're still watching film. We're still doing all those things. It doesn't stop. And I think it's stopping at the time it needs to stop and everybody's not really –
They're not gelling.
Why are you playing? Why are you playing for that next man? Do you know about his wife? Do you know about his family? Are you really that close of knowing why I play for that guy?
Right.
Not for the Dallas Cowboys, but for that man beside me.
Yeah.
Such an underrated like aspect of sports, right?
Yeah.
Like you're playing for each other. And if you don't have that camaraderie
and
you don't know and love the people you're playing with, it shows up on the field, right?
In this day and age when there's so many numbers, you can't put a value on that.
No.
And the stat nerds can't put a value on it, so they want to completely disregard it and poo-poo it and talk about it doesn't matter because I punched all these numbers in my computer and this is what spit out.
Yeah, the numbers don't matter, and I always looked at, you know, there's X's and O's, right? Certain players, but you got to make those players come to life. They have families, they have characteristics that you can't put on that number. And so that's what keeps a team close together is when you have usually the leader on a team, they're really quiet because they've talked the whole time during practice. They've talked the whole time during meetings. They're not the ones that are, doing a lot of the media stuff. They're not. But when he walks into the room, there's a person that you respect. And when they walk into the room, it's like, whoa. Everybody gets quiet. Like, what do we have to do for that person? And he knows every single person. He knows every single play, how they should do it. And that's what's missing.
From the defense?
From the defense.
Yeah.
From the defense. I mean, if you're scoring 35, 40 points on offense, I mean, what else can you ask?
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, Dak can rein those guys in, but you're, defensively, that's just
defensively,
kind of a –
defensively, you need that. When Micah left, you know, he was a great player, but still not the leader that we needed.
Yeah.
He was a phenomenal player, but now he's in – I feel like he's in a better spot where he's at now because he probably has someone that he's looking up to that's there.
Yeah.
That's teaching him even more and making him a better player. He's playing really well right now.
Yeah.
So something's gelling up there like it should be that wasn't here.
Yeah.
Cowboys or Broncos this weekend?
Cowboys, whoa.
You can say no comment.
I'll comment on it. Because I just left there. It was the 10-year of Super Bowl 50 is our anniversary. So I was there. And then, you know, also with Demaryius Thomas celebrating him and the Ring of Fame there. They are a very, very strappy team. It was different. I'm just this where I go to the continuity of the team. When you have a team that if I asked them a question and I asked the defensive line, like, how you guys going to get pressure this week? They said, bro, we got a game plan. All of us got a game plan of how we going to get pressure. They didn't say like how we going to get pressure. And they said, this is what we say out there. All of us going to eat today. And I'm like, And so that point of how close they were and all of them, when I said something to one of them, all of them came around and they corralled around. And I'm like, wow, this is, and they're young.
Yeah.
Just like the Dallas Cowboys, they're young. So you got to get those young, strappy guys. I mean, I don't know exactly, you know, how the game is going to go, but I know that it's very, very hard to go up there and play in Denver.
Yeah.
Because of the altitude. And you know, just
it's real.
It's a great home field advantage. And they got a really good team, too. So the Cowboys can go up there and win, but they got to knock them in their mouth fast and early, quick, and get up on them. So now they can just start their pass rush game, and they can probably get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I have some, like, quick rapid fire, and this will be the last thing we do.
All right.
They're kind of some silly questions just to have some fun, kind of about your relationship, your marriage, parenting, all the things. All right. You can say no comment, right? We're not forcing you into this.
Okay.
But they're pretty easy, pretty harmless. Pickleball, yes or no?
No.
Yes.
Pickleball.
Well, if it's nothing or pickleball. I mean, if it's tennis versus pickleball, tennis. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Okay. Same. Pedicures, yes or no?
I like pedicure. I love nails. I love nails. People that take care of their feet and their hands, to me, that shows hygiene. I'm being honest with you. So I love nails. And, you know, my wife knows that, too. So, yeah.
So, Angela passed the test.
She passed the test. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that first year and a half was rough when MJ came, though. I failed miserably on the test then. Right. Nope.
Like, who has time
you are taking too long. I've got 20 minutes. Can you get it done? No. Okay. Catch me later.
sitting on the same side of the booth at dinner. Yes or no?
Always.
Always.
Aww.
Required.
Y'all are so cute. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't
like to sit across. Like
it's weird.
This. No.
It's weird.
No.
Just sleep. Okay. Sleep masks.
No.
Say it again.
Sleep masks.
Like.
Yeah. Sleep masks.
Y'all have know what it is.
He's like, what's
I don't
that?
Know what that is. I probably got a lot of free ones that they don't sent me and no gave them to her. But like, no, sleep mask for
he's
me.
He's just handed everything. He's got a bunch of sleep masks.
No, you know, I got the, actually, I, there was a, what is it, Theragun?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
High one. I got the one at the house right now. I just pulled it out, but she doesn't wear it. But
has never used it.
Never
used
it.
Know what to
I'll
do with
never
it.
Use a sleep mask.
You also, like, do y'all just sleep fine on your own naturally? Emily and I talk about this. Like, as you get older,
dark
how.
Dark shades. I got to get
blackout
all the dark
curtains,
blackout shades.
Curtains.
Have the, like, you know, soaking in his presence, music on the whole night. I'm out.
Yeah.
We have a toddler. There is no sleep fine all through the night. Just for clarification.
This is true.
You can just knock out. Yes. Okay, playing sports together. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we are very competitive.
What do y'all play? Tennis?
Tennis. Okay.
Tennis and golf.
And golf.
Okay.
Great.
So we will go out and play. Like, and we're competing, too. I get pissed.
I give him a run for his money.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do y'all ever argue, or is it like, do y'all ever argue during the, while you're playing?
It just, you just got to know which button not to press.
Right.
It's like, you just know that, like, if I hit a ball in the, like a trash ball over here, Like, don't be like, oh, I seen you hit it over there. I'm already pissed.
Yeah.
Don't say anything like to piss me off even more. Like, hey, babe, you know what? Maybe you should kick it or give me a – just throw a ball out there and say, yeah, just try another one. Maybe you can do better next time.
Yeah.
Like, give me some motivation.
Okay.
Because I'm already – oh, I'm already over the top. I love some golf now.
Yeah.
So.
I want to beat him at his best, not at his worst.
Right.
It's not a fair win if he's there at his worst. I want to beat him at his best.
I like it.
So true. I feel like that's so relatable. I was playing pickleball with my husband the other day, and he kept hitting it up too high, right? And they're just slamming it. I'm like, keep it low. Oh, no, Julie.
Yes.
He got so mad at me. Yep. I was like, I didn't know if you knew. Sorry. You don't pop it up to them. Okay, who's the better cook?
Oh, Angela for sure. Oh, she's the cook.
What are your specialties?
Everything is special.
Look at this. He likes to be fed. You see that?
Uh-huh. What's your favorite thing to cook?
I love to cook a good steak. Okay. I mean, that doesn't sound like fancy or anything, but there's nothing like a really good.
What do you cook it on?
I cook it in cast iron.
Okay.
And then I finish it in the oven. So I do like a nice sear on the outside.
Yeah.
And finish it.
My husband does it on the green egg.
Oh,
it's
yep.
Phenomenal.
It's really good.
Dude. Yep.
Really good.
So good time for
me. Yeah.
Okay. Who does bedtimes?
Mostly.
Yeah. She does bedtime mostly.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, it just depends. I'll do bedtime. But majority of the time, she's doing bedtime.
It's a fun
thing. He acts up. He really acts up when I do bedtime.
I love it now that he's more cooperative.
He's an hour
with
and 30 minutes late going to bed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Who's more likely to forget it's picture day at school?
Oh, I
both
forgot
of us?
That. Yeah. He just had picture day like 2 days ago, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was a week.
Yeah.
No, it had been two weeks because we got the pictures back already.
Yeah, it was last
week. But we definitely scrambled. I'm horrible, and so was he. Like,
oh,
I don't.
My gosh.
Yeah. It's really rough.
As they get older, there's so much more. It's like, wear red.
Yeah. All the things.
Yeah, wear a cowboy hat on Wednesday.
His two olders, and they had, like, dress up every week, and I was like, what is
Uncle,
this? We're not doing it. This is crazy. Dress up like a cowboy, then dress up like, you know, like a circus, and then I'm like, what is this?
Why? Okay, I feel like y'all might not even have one of these because y'all seem pretty perfect. But what's the household penalty flag moment? Like something that drives you nuts in the house? Outside of feet and nails and...
I don't know.
Shoes on in the house drives me crazy.
Yeah, I'm a
shoes off gal.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. It does. I'm surprised I'm not, because I'm super OCD.
Yes.
I don't know.
And
he does not care. He's like, it's
great.
Fine.
Yeah. We're good.
Shoes. I'll take my shoes off, but every once in a while.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
We found it. Favorite show to binge watch?
Ooh, yes. What is it called? The
House of David.
House of David. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Yeah. It's about David and Goliath, David in the Bible.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
but
it's really good.
They remade it. It's on Prime.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
So good.
It's
like,
really good.
Think of like biblical Game of Thrones.
Whoa.
Okay.
So it's
but
really
like
good.
Not as like X-rated, but still like it's not really super good.
Really good.
Parenting motto in one word.
Parenting motto in what now?
One word.
One word. Parenting motto.
Love.
That's a hard one, Jules.
I'm trying to think.
Love is a great answer.
Yeah. Love is it's a good one.
You can copy her.
Yeah, I think forgiveness.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I think being able to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a big
screwing up.
Oh my God. Because everybody's screwing up.
For sure. Yep.
You messed up. Okay, cool. Can you apologize for that? Because I mean, it was hard for my son to apologize, and he was like, for what? And I would get him to explain to me like why, what was the problem, but then he starts to understand like, oh, you know what, you're right. Because if you never think that you're wrong, you eventually you're going to get to a point where you get so complacent and so conceited of thinking that you're always right all the time.
Yeah. There's something very empowering about saying
I'm sorry. For sure.
And being able to accept forgiveness and grace, too, is something that we don't learn as kids sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, is to, like, receive forgiveness.
Right.
Keep ourselves in shame so much, you know, like, I messed up and I'm not good enough and I can't get it right and blah, blah, blah. That narrative Like, if we can break that narrative early as parents and just accepting grace and forgiveness, how much more empowered are you as an adult if you learn that early?
Sure.
Yeah.
Y'all are amazing. That's all. I'm like, y'all are awesome. This is so great. Let's see. Just, we'll do one more.
All right.
Who's more competitive?
Probably me.
She doesn't. I can't. She is more competitive because she can show it. I can't show my competitiveness. Like, it's one of those things, like, for me, if I got competitive, it's almost like a detriment to me. Like, I'm like one of those people that, like, I can will myself to win.
That is true.
Like, if I want to win, I am going to win.
Wow.
And I can't have that mentality.
Yeah, that is accurate.
Yeah, actually. So I'm like,
no. I've seen,
like,
some unbelievable things
like
happen through you.
Like, if I want something or if I want to win, like, I will do whatever it takes to win. Even to the point where, like, when I played the sport, I would play with a broken arm. I would play with a hurt leg. And I would subdue the pain because I wanted to beat you. That, and I can't be that guy anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
So I get to be the competitive one then.
I'm just like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can win. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not having a stress day today. Yeah. Y'all go ahead and do that.
You don't want to bring that out in couples golf.
Exactly. Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
Right?
Yep.
Well, y'all are so amazing. This has been so wonderful.
Thank y'all so much. Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for having us on.
Yeah. Thank y'all for being here.
And it's such a great cause, too, with, you know, doing this and everything.
Thank y'all so much. All right. Well, best of luck. Go Cowboys.
Yes, go Cowboys.
Better be rooting for them.
And go Broncos.
Yes, exactly.
Whoever you want to win.
Go sports.
Go sports team.
Yay, football.
Go football.
Well, thank y'all so much. Best of luck with the birthday party this weekend, MJ.
That's right, buddy.
Have fun. Ooh. Happy fourth birthday. Gosh,
he's so cute. The Mom Game wants you to unleash your frog power with our friends at Baylor Scott & White All Saints, not far from us here today, here in Fort Worth. They're the proud sponsor of TCU Athletics. Baylor Scott & White Health is giving you the chance to win a football signed by head coach Sonny Dykes. This is how you enter. Snap a picture of the QR code on your screen. It'll take you straight to that entry form. Or you can visit the Mom Game Instagram page. Click on the link in our bio that's labeled Baylor Scott & White Enter to Win Contest. And then you enter to win. How about that? While you're there, check out game day tips to keep you at your peak so that every game feels like your best game. And, of course, remember, at Baylor Scott & White Health, you've always got a team that has your back, Emily.
Yeah, and we are so thrilled to be here at Truck Yard in Fort Worth, and super grateful for all the people who helped make this event happen to raise awareness for breast cancer during this Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Susan G. Komen has been a wonderful partner of ours for a number of years, and super thankful to the people here at Truck Yard, the team at Audrey Dollins Media, who has pulled
killed
out
it.
All the stops. They do pretty much everything. We've told you for however long, many, many weeks, months, years now, how valuable Audrey Dollins Media is to our team here at the Mom Game. They manage all of our social media. They revamped our website. They do our newsletter. They put on events like this. There's really nothing that Audrey and her team cannot do. So if you're looking for a marketing business glow up, whether it's personal or business, Audrey and her team are there for you to do pretty much anything that you can imagine, including putting on fantastic events like this. Also want to say thank you to our friends at Energy Bot for being a proud sponsor of the Mom Game and for saving Julie and I money.
Yay.
I got my first new energy bill.
Okay, yeah, was it way it more was, exciting it, than it your way, last one?
It was way less overwhelming than my previous ones, which is great. So if you were like Julie and I, about 75% of Texans are not shopping for their energy. They just sign up based on the first plan provider that they see. But you can save 20% or even more on your electricity bill just by shopping around, and that's exactly what Energy Bot does. Julie and I both went through the process. We looked at what we could potentially save. We both made switches from our current electric providers. A lot of time, they break down everything. They shop the plans for you. They compare your bill to other people in your neighborhood to make sure that you're on track. Sometimes they'll say you're getting a good deal, just stay pat. But for us, it was definitely smart for both of us to move, and so that is what we did. So if you want to check out what EnergyBot can do for you, visit energybot.com/momgame. That will take you to a special landing page for Mom Game listeners to take advantage of the energy savings that EnergyBot can provide. So once again, that's energybot.com/momgame.
Em, that was so fun to have DeMarcus and Angela Ware on our show. Oh my gosh, they're so amazing. I learned so much, so many things I want to take home when it comes to parenting. And I'm excited to have another sweet couple joining us today. Welcome to Charlie and Amanda Lauersdorf. Did I nail it?
Absolutely nailed it. Great job.
I'm a game day kind of person, like in the moment.
Yes.
Leading up to it, I couldn't get it right. Okay, so you're the Fort Worth City Councilman.
Correct.
That sounds very important.
I don't know about all that. It's an honor to serve the city of Fort Worth, but no, she's the important one here, not this guy.
So Fort Worth is big. So what district is it districts?
It's programming districts.
I'm showing my political idiocy here.
No, trust me. I was there with you a couple of years ago. So District 4, each district represents about 100,000 people.
Okay.
We are now unofficially the 10th largest city in America. We have over 1 million residents. So
yeah round yes, of applause
we're growing,
Fort Worth.
I'm one of them.
We're growing responsibly.
Proud Fort Worth resident.
So come to Texas. If you want to come to Texas, just... Don't Austin our Fort Worth. That's kind of our slogan. So
don't Austin it. Don't make it too.
Yeah.
Don't make it too weird.
Too big,
don't make it too weird. Keep it if you get in front of somebody, wave. It's a big deal still. You know.
Right.
It doesn't matter how big you get, you can still stay respectful and stay small town. So that's our goal.
You're not ready for Fort Worth City Limits Music Fest, or?
No, actually, not at all. I don't even want to talk about that.
Austin, I'm from
City
Austin,
Limits,
yeah.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. I want no part of it.
Yeah. So.
Well, I know Amanda has a wonderful story. We want to get to that and talk a little bit about why y'all are here today. But can you explain what a city councilman does and kind of what pulled you to do this job?
Yeah, so it's funny because whenever we first talked about this, we were actually in a hot tub, I think in December. And I was like, hey, so there's going to be an open seat on city council. And rather than hoping someone else steps up to serve and has the same ideas and vision for Fort Worth, I think I should do it. And we're like, sounds like a terrible idea. So I did it. But your council is actually, in my opinion, unbiased opinion, almost more important than your federal government because we affect more of your daily life, like the roads, your infrastructure, stormwater, things that aren't sexy, like potholes and picking up your trash. Those are things that we should be worried about at the city council level. Property taxes, all those fun but not
stuff
fun things.
Stuff no one else wants to worry about.
Right. Like, you need somebody that has common sense, and I'm also a Marine, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, too. But you need somebody with just common sense approach to, like, being a normal family, what affects you, how does it affect you the most, and what can we do to ensure the Fort Worth we leave behind is better than how we received it? Because we want our kids, we have a lot of kids, and we want them to grow up here and stay here and grow their families here. We don't want them to go somewhere else because of policies or something dumb.
Yeah. So,
how many kids do y'all have?
Oh, shoot, that we know of, at least 5.
Okay.
Right? Did I get that right? Right? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You probably have a pretty good recollection of all the children.
Decently.
Yes.
You know all their names? And
yeah.
Yeah, we have a combined household, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so never a dull moment, right? With all of those, what's the age range?
That's on her. She's got to.
So we go 14 to 23.
Okay.
And that's the age range. But our house has been pretty calm.
Yeah.
Recently.
I'll knock for
I mean,
you.
I think it's because I just had surgery about 6 weeks ago and my daughter, the 23-year-old. So I've got the 23 and the 14. So I've got the two on the end, the outliers. And but so my daughter's been having him. And then we have the 15-year-old every other week and the 17-year-old full time. But then the 19-year-old is at college.
Okay. So, got it.
So we... A
little bit of everything.
Fluctuates.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I spoke to you before we started the show. I'm a breast cancer survivor. And I understand you're going through a journey of your own right now. And when you talk about the kids and you talk about life, like, I remember that feeling of life just stopping. Like, things... Nothing else is important besides you, your family, getting healthy. Tell us a little bit about your story and where you're at now. Of course, we're here in support of Susan G. Komen, who's doing so many wonderful things, giving back for people like us.
That's so amazing. Back in December, it was time for my yearly mammogram. We had been watching a few lumps since like 2017. Went in December, they were like, oh, one of these lumps looks congruent with a duct. So they did a biopsy on it. It came back as a papilloma, which has like a 10% chance of becoming cancerous ever. So I met with the doctor. She was like, it needs to come out. But I was getting ready to deploy in February. And so...
I think you have to get more information on that.
You have to deploy.
Oh, right. Deploy. So all of this is pre-deployment workup. So December, I met with the doctor. And she was like, okay, well, we can take, we'll take care of this when we get, when I get back. Because I was going to go deploy and then come home in like mid-December or so, and then we'll remove the papilloma, and then I'll go on with my life. So she decided, before she was ready to give me the clear, even though the biopsy came back okay and the other scans were fine because I had an ultrasound and a diagnostic mammogram, and the self-exams were fine, she was like, I just want to double-check. So we did another mammogram, an ultrasound, and it showed up on the MRI.
Wow.
So they did the biopsy, and so my orders, I was supposed to leave. My orders said February 6th. So rather than allow me to go down to Fort Hood and then just come back up for my biopsy, they extended my orders to March. They're like, okay, this will give you time. Get that second biopsy. I spoke with the radiologist, and she was like, I'm sure it's fine. We just got to double check. Well, that came back positive for cancer. And so it's... So initially, it was like, okay, well, you have a choice, lumpectomy or mastectomy, what do you want to do? We got the Oncotype results back, and that showed that I would need chemo premenopausal, you know, with my age and the type of cancer and everything. So we had a double mastectomy date set for April 22nd. And so we found out about 4 days prior to that, that it was in my lymph nodes. And so they were like, we're canceling surgery, and you're going to chemo. So... We did chemo, and it was 8 rounds of chemo. And we were hoping that by, you know, so I had a double mastectomy with reconstruction 6 weeks ago. And
wow.
We were hoping that that would be the clear, like, oh, we're good, you're cancer free. Well, I'm not. So they pulled out some lymph nodes and checked them. The original one that had cancer in it was clear, but another one did. So now the next plan is to do a full lymph node dissection, so they'll basically remove all of my lymph nodes from my armpit. And then, depending on which way we go with surgery, there's reconstruction options for your lymphatic system and stuff like that, lymph node transfers, all kinds of amazing things that we had no idea about until like 3 weeks ago. Then radiation.
Okay.
So, but I think one of the most annoying things about this is, like, I didn't even mind losing my hair. You know, that wasn't a big deal. So they put, because the cancer is estrogen and progesterone driven. So I started Lupron last week.
Yep, I did that.
Yeah. So now
I know what Lupron is.
So it's so basically what it does is it temporarily suppresses estrogen in your ovaries.
Okay.
Estrogen production. So it's just temporary.
Okay.
But it kind of holds it at bay. And so after radiation, I'll get to go and go into full menopause with other meds and stuff.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
So much.
And for me, it was like a whole year, you know, chemo, or I started with chemo and then had a double mastectomy and then did radiation. And it's something that is always, it just becomes part of you. Mm-hmm. And you never really are through it. You always are thinking about it, but you can beat it. And then when you beat it, you can kind of get on with your life. And so it sounds like you have a good plan. And that was always something that was so important to me, because it's that feeling of not having a plan or not knowing, right? Like just having this like dark cloud mystery. Well, what's next? What's going to happen? If you trust your doctors, if you have a good plan, if you lean into the plan, if you keep a positive mindset and do things that make you happy. For me, I wasn't married yet. I didn't have kids. It was work. So I worked as much as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you have a wonderful support system. So that's just me giving you advice, like being somebody that's gone through it. How are you keeping a strong, positive mindset as best you can? I know it's hard and we all have our weak moments.
Yeah,
but
no,
how
absolutely.
Are you kind of trying to do that?
So I attribute my positive outlook and my ability to cope and process because I've learned to not like suppress emotions anymore. You have very traumatic childhood, lots of bad things happened, but I went to therapy about 5 years ago and did about 2 years, 2.5 years of really intensive therapy, EMDR, all kinds of things. And so I think that has prepared me to deal with this.
Yeah.
And so whereas I feel like the me before therapy would have suppressed my emotions, I probably would have found some very bad coping mechanisms. The me now, I can talk to my husband and I'm like, okay, well, I'm having a bad day. And I just don't want to talk to anybody right now. And I can verbalize that. And being able to lean on the people that are closest to me you know, and even like, because I come up with some of the most, you know, like, you know, some of the most ridiculous scenarios, right? Uh-huh. Like, I remember when I was going through chemo and my foot hurt, I was like, oh God, it's in my feet, because it woke me up.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm texting my friend who's a nurse practitioner. She's actually be here soon. I was like, oh my God, I think the cancer and whatever. She's like, no, it's okay. It'll be okay.
It's like, that's just like, yeah, any other person that's foot, their foot hurts.
Yeah. Babe, so your foot's asleep, go back to bed. You don't have foot cramp. Cancer.
Right. But it's all the mental battle is big.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. All these stupid things that are happening in my head. Like another one was, you know, so I'm a nurse. And so when I, one of the things that did not stop growing through chemo was my nails. And so, you know, me and whatever was happening in this thing was like, what if? Because I've heard about people's nails falling off during chemo. It's like, what if they just grow out a certain amount? Because they're done growing because of chemo, and then your nail just grows out, and then you're done. And I was like, that's so disgusting. Why? Why is this a thing?
Why do I think about this stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so tell me about your military background.
Yes.
And how you two met.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's going to be good.
I'm a nurse in the Army. And so I'm with the unit I'm with is the 311th Field Hospital, and we're based out of Ohio. And they're the ones that are in Honduras right now doing a lot of humanitarian work because we're all medical. And so that's what I've been doing for about 5 years. And so I joined very late. I'd already been a nurse for a long time and then joined. He is a Marine. He's a first sergeant in the Marine Corps. And he's been a Marine for 21 years. Technically, I outrank him.
Oh, very love strange. It.
No,
it's
we're going to cut.
I love it.
It's very strange.
She's like, how do I say this? Because I outrank him.
Which is a cool perk.
Yeah.
I put in like no work into it. And he's worked his butt off his entire military career and done all kinds of incredible things. So like, I know in my unit, my senior NCOs, my non-commissioned officers, they're the ones with the knowledge. You know, and so I know that that's him. Like, he's got so much knowledge about the military and all kinds of things, and just very, very amazing. But I just want to make sure I threw that in.
Yeah, but you do outrank
him.
So
yeah, that was it.
Yeah. So I'll cover how we met, though, because she'll probably romanticize it, and it's not romantic. So I'm on Facebook like I usually was, and this super hot, like, literally the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my entire life was like a friend request. I was like, it's a bot. It's catfish. Either way, I gotta know. So I was like, I'll send a friend request. And then she accepted. I was like, oh, this is fake. I was like, so I ignored it, like all the other catfishes that are out there, because no one is this beautiful, right? Aww. No one.
I had hair. It was.
And yeah. She's still the most beautiful girl I've ever seen.
You're still beautiful.
Even as, I know she's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen, because even as a baldy, I was like, oh, this is great. And she got ready super fast. So we won't go into that.
She got ready super fast. Yeah. Perk.
Date nights were like 10 minutes. Yeah. But, so I sent a friend request. And then like 4 months later, she sent me a message and said something about, you know, what's your story? And I was like, well, one time I was drunk in Tijuana. It wasn't that kind of petting zoo.
Yeah.
Wait, what story are you talking about? Yeah. And then she came back with something super quirky. And I was like, oh. Just like DeMarcus is like, I know I'm going to marry her. She doesn't know it yet because, you know, she's going to like file a restraining order and all these other things. Right. But I was like, I'm going to marry her. She just doesn't know it yet. And sure enough, eventually one day I convinced her and here we are. So Facebook for the win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. A modern day romance.
So I'm half Palestinian.
Although Facebook's old, I guess.
And so I was born and raised overseas in the Middle East. And so I moved to the U.S. when I was 17. He had never heard me speak before, but he knew because we'd started talking through Messenger. You know, hey, you know, he was like, where are you from and whatever. And for people who are raised somewhere else, that's a loaded question. You know, it's like, I'm from here, but I was born and then I was raised. So one of the first things this man says to me when we meet is, your English is impeccable.
Like, you're like, thanks.
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time in the Middle East, right?
Right.
So I've spoke to a lot of people who don't speak good English. And so whenever we met at a brewery, because our love language is beer, I was like, wow, her English, I can understand her. This is good.
After a few beers, you told her she had great English.
Yeah. It was before the first beer, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go all in. There's no way she's going to date me again, because now she sees me because I photoshopped my pictures. There's no way I was going to get a second date, so I was going to throw it all out there. And here we are. So
how long have y'all been married?
It'll be 6 years in December.
Okay.
This is actually, I knew I was going to get cancer, so this was all part of the plan.
Okay.
Make sure I had a husband first.
Yep.
Right.
Solid, really work on that marriage, and then.
I like it. You planned ahead.
I did. So I did catfish him in a way.
Well, I know the feeling, right? Like, I know the feeling. We weren't married yet, but we were dating, and Kelly proposed while I was going through chemo. So it was like, do I say yes? Like, do I want to be a burden to this human when I don't know what's even going to happen? But the support from a loving husband or fiance, or if you don't have that and you're going through this and you're going through cancer, the support of somebody who loves you and cares for you is so important. How are you doing your best to support her? Because I can tell you are.
So it's interesting because we love the pink. We love Susan G. Komen. We love everything about the community. Everyone, I guarantee you, if we walk through this facility right now, we can find someone touched by not just cancer, but by breast cancer, right? We'll find somebody. The support community, they're there. They're all over the place. But being the caretaker, if you even want to call that, because she takes care of herself, it's interesting because it's like you still have this whole life you have to live. You still have jobs you have to work, but you want to be there for the most important person in your life. And you have to understand what they're going through, why they're going through it, the trying to be positive. Well, sometimes you have to say, yep, this does suck. Because I'm always the positive guy, like, well, it could be this. It could be worse. No, she taught
you
me
you could have
on,
foot cancer.
Yeah, you true. Could have foot cancer.
Right.
True, and that would
but
be
you
worse.
Don't. And so you have to learn, like, you know what? Today is a bad day, and today sucks. And you have every right.
Yep.
And you have every right to feel like today sucks. Because that's your right. And there's not always a silver lining. But then the next day might be different. And so supporting her and supporting others, and then knowing that there are people out there who don't have that support network, and we're learning about that now. Like, even going out to the Susan G. Komen walk this a couple weeks ago, and you see people kind of out there by themselves, it's like, you don't have to be by yourself. You don't have to go through this alone. You have complete strangers like yourself who you've been through it and you can relate. Let me walk with you. And so we want to be part of that going forward. Like, hey, you don't have to go through this alone. You might be single. You might be this. You might not have family. Might not have a support system. I guarantee you there are people who are willing to support you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And lastly, for you guys, and especially, I guess, you, Charlie, dealing with the things you deal with in the day-to-day, right? So you talked about property taxes and school districts and day-to-day problems. How does this change your perspective?
Oh, it's changed a lot. In fact, the running joke is I only got reelected to my second term because of her. Because while we got the diagnosis during my second campaign, and there was actually a couple people who thought we were faking it to get elected.
Oh no.
And so, but I'm a Marine, she's a captain, so we have the darkest.
You're like,
whatever. We're gonna lean into this. We're like, hey, thank you so much, babe, for getting me reelected. I appreciate it. And after I got reelected, we're like, well, I guess you have to keep the cancer in case I want to do something else.
The cancer.
Yeah. So we went ahead and did chemo. You went ahead and we're committed now. We're taking this
right
all the way.
We're keeping this cancer.
Together. Yes.
But at the dais, the night that I got sworn in the second time, I made a commitment that every minute that I give the city is a minute that I take away from her or the kids. So I'll make sure it's a meaningful minute. Like, I won't go to events in the evening unless it matters to Fort Worth, matters to the district. If it matters to us personally, and that's why we're here right now, because it matters. But it makes me almost want to, like, really, like, reach out and choke some residents every now and then. Like, if this is truly the most important thing in your
right?
life, you are so lucky. If that pothole that you email me about 30 times a day is seriously and genuinely the most important
thing. It's probably
thing in
something
life,
else going on with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not the pothole. They're unhappy.
But if
it's a mess.
It is, you are so lucky. Yep. Because imagine if one of your loved ones was going through the fight of their life and you had to look at them every day and like we didn't sleep in the same bed for almost 4.5 weeks after her double mastectomy because she had to sleep in the recliner. And I couldn't sleep in the recliner with her because it just wasn't comfortable for her. I tried.
Yeah.
So it for me on council, it put things in perspective, especially as I try to like leave the city better than I found it. It's like, what's truly important in life?
Yep.
And not that pothole is not important. I'm just saying, let's put things in perspective.
Yeah.
So it's certainly for me, it's put things in perspective. And I will use my time wisely. And the people of District 4 that elected me, I think they can appreciate that. And if they don't, then you know what? At the end of the day, this is all I care about.
Yeah.
So
that's wonderful.
Okay, so what is next for you? How can we support you? How can we send you positive vibes, and when should we do that?
Vote for me in the next election. Sorry. We already got elected once. There, Mike. Yeah. Sorry.
We can't use the cancer.
No.
Foot cancer.
Yeah.
So I think talking about it, I came into this as a nurse, my only experience, real experience with breast cancer is when I was much younger, my aunt died of breast cancer, and I was a hospice nurse. So being a hospice nurse definitely did
not prepare me. What a tough job.
Yeah. Definitely did not prepare me for this. But again, even as a nurse, I came into this, like, I don't know how you're supposed to feel. Nobody talks about it. Like, everybody, like, we have so, 1 in 8 women are going to be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. Every single person has breast tissue. Any person who has breast tissue can develop breast cancer, men, women, doesn't matter. But we don't talk about it, you know? And then there was, and it's, even talking to some of my other girlfriends who've been diagnosed, it's like, there's some, it seems like there's some aspect of it being taboo because they're breasts.
Yeah.
But breasts are so much more than just, you know, something for him. You know, and,
yeah.
So, and I think, but I think it's that. It's like, well, it's making people uncomfortable. Okay, well, they need to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think, too, a lot of times, like, for me, I've run into this with a few of my friends that have been diagnosed with breast cancer. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. You feel stupid. The shit that comes out of your mouth, you're like, God, why did I say that? Like, it still happens. Like, I'll say stuff to Julie, and I'm like, why did I say that? That was the dumbest thing ever. And she still loves me. But it's like, you don't know what to say because you don't want to be awkward, but then that's all you are, is just awkward.
I'm awkward.
Yeah.
We're all awkward. I think, so, yeah.
The other day, we were at Hooters for lunch, of all places.
That's amazing.
I was craving wings. I go there for the wings.
Sure.
But we're there, and it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and this waitress comes by, this super sweet girl. She's like, happy breast cancer, because I was wearing my pink ribbons like I always do.
Happy
breast cancer awareness. And I was like, it was a very nice thought, but I'm sure she walked away like, oh, why did I say that?
Yeah.
But the thing is, she's talking about it.
Yeah.
Like at the city of Fort Worth, we're talking about it. We have a mobile mammogram unit coming out in a couple of weeks. Let's talk about it. We talk about the pink, but we don't talk about what happens with the scars and the surgeries and the draining of the bulbs and the good and the bad.
Oh my gosh, that's the worst. Those drains.
Yes. And like,
they're terrible.
I love stripping my wife more than anyone else, but it's different when you're stripping drains.
Yeah.
Right? But that's part of it. And then talking to other caretakers going through, it's like, here's what you're going to have to deal with. It's not always fun and games. Like, there's the dirty, the ugly, but it's what you go through. And then she's fine. Like, I've been overseas 8 times. I've been in combat. You name it. I've never seen a more ferocious fighter than this woman right here.
Nah.
She's already gone back to work. She's already giving back to the community. She's giving back to other people in our neighborhood who are going through it, who didn't know how to respond to being diagnosed with breast cancer. And she's talking about it. And she's telling them, here's what's going to happen next. Here's the answers you're not getting. Don't go to Google. Go to someone who's gone.
Never go to Google.
Yeah.
So. That's one thing I learned.
Google will give you foot cancer.
That's good.
Not careful. No. For sure.
Google has nothing good.
No.
Well, we are so glad that y'all joined us here today. I'm always here for you. Yeah. Susan G. Komen, always here for you, for anybody that's going through this battle. And
I'm here if you want me to say something super awkward and make you feel uncomfortable.
Breast cancer.
Happy breast cancer. Happy breast cancer, everybody. Yeah. Well, we can't wait to hear about how things go and talk to you when you're on the other side, because you will get there.
Thank you.
And this will all be in the rear view mirror, and you'll get back to those 5, maybe 6 kids.
Yeah. Depending on the day, fluctuates. Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. We really, truly appreciate it, and good luck with your big job.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. And maybe the foot cancer will get us reelected again.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Well, we end every episode by looking at the camera, throwing up the peace signs and saying mom game out. It's kind of our cheesy little bit to end the show. We've done it for 5 years. We're not stopping now.
Mom game out.
Mom game out.
We can have can everyone say it with us?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Let's do everybody.
Everybody, mom game out, double peace signs.
We'll go 1, 2, 3.
You don't have to.
Throw up the peace signs and say mom game out.
Okay.
You ready?
One,
two, three.
Mom game out.